Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Members of the Sitka Assembly will meet tonight for the third time to discuss the future of the city administrator. Jim Dinley got a negative review during his annual evaluation by the Assembly last week. After the meeting on April 16, Mayor Mim McConnell said the Assembly would have another executive session to discuss how to handle it. That was supposed to happen last night, but meetings aren't allowed to go past 10:30 p.m. So when the meeting hit its deadline, McConnell called a recess. The Assembly is expected to pick up where it left off tonight. Officially, no one has said what, if anything, might happen to Dinley. But as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, a quick trip to City Hall speaks volumes.
Jim Dinley's office is packed up. His nameplate no longer sits on the lip of his desk. The Air Force memorabilia is gone from the credenza along the inside wall, and what is usually a workspace full of memos and notepads was nearly empty on Tuesday afternoon. It has been a turbulent year for Sitka's municipal administrator. In January, a city employee filed a harassment complaint against him. An outside attorney investigated and said Dinley used inappropriate comments on two different occasions, and the Assembly suspended him for 2 weeks. Then came his annual review. It was on the calendar anyway, before the harassment complaint, but the timing put it 2 days after he returned from suspension. It took more than 3 hours, and afterward, Mayor Mim McConnell said simply that the Assembly gave Dinley, quote, an unsatisfactory evaluation, and that it would meet at a future date to figure out how to deal with that. So that brings us to Centennial Hall last night and the public comment period of the Sitka Assembly meeting.
For the record, Cheryl Westover,
thank you.
High Mayor and Assembly.
Cheryl Westover was mayor of Sitka from 2010 until last October. She was on the Assembly that hired Dinley, and she praised his work.
All these jobs that are going on in the city and ones that have started earlier and ones that are going to happen, they would not be happening if it weren't for that man and this wonderful new staff that have pretty much come online since he's been here. He's created a wonderful crew in the city. Things are clicking along. I think our city is a lot better for having Jim here.
Westover also wondered why she was never contacted during the investigation into Dinley's actions.
So I don't feel that the investigation was thorough or fair, because I feel I should have been questioned, because I'm sure my name was brought up at least once, if not twice, and maybe 10 or 20 times, I don't know. But I think I had a lot of information to offer on the investigation.
She urged the Assembly to think hard about whatever it was about to do, and said the city does not need to go through a transition in leadership when it's in the middle of complicated projects and about to begin its budget process. Through all of it, Westover's testimony, the evaluation last week, and multiple requests by reporters to talk about what's going on, Dinley has refused to comment. He has been municipal administrator since 2008. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Assembly is scheduled to meet tonight at 5 p.m. to continue its discussion at Centennial Hall. Most of it is expected to take place behind closed doors in executive session. KCAW will report on any Assembly action, which must happen in public. The Sitka School Board cut no staff when it met this week to approve its final budget for next year, but it did eliminate what many consider a critical position at the high school. The board is also counting on support from the Assembly to tie up the last loose ends of the district's finances. KCAW's Robert Woolsey, along with about 50 other Sitkins, attended Monday night's budget hearing and filed this report.
The budget the school board will deliver to the Assembly is not balanced. There's still a shortfall of about $68,000 out of a total of $19.6 million. That's pretty good news considering the board went into the meeting over $300,000 in the hole with at least six jobs on the line. Board President Lon Garrison made it plain, however, that the Sitka schools were growing too comfortable living on the edge.
We have been the benefactors of very good luck for many, many years. And I know you've heard us say this many times, and we always seem to come out on the other side in some way, shape, or form. But we've been here before, and we've had some things in the works, and we've been able to get through by the skin of our teeth and end up saving everything that we have and be able to have some money left in our reserve. And I think the days of that happening could be gone.
The budget gap was closed in large part through an 11th-hour appropriation by the state legislature for school security. It was a reaction to the shootings last December at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. School districts in Alaska with less than 4,500 students, like Sitka, can use their share of the funding for energy costs. Sitka schools will receive one-time funding of about $245,000. The other budget closing measure was the long-expected decision to eliminate the activities director position at Sitka High School for a savings of about $90,000. 18 people testified before the board, many of whom spoke on behalf of preserving the three jobs at the top of the list of proposed cuts: the high school activities director, the community school swimming pool manager, and sports coordinator. No one on the board wanted to cut staff. The debate was really about principal. What is the role of community schools now, and does it make sense for it to absorb the duties of organizing high school activities? Board member Tim Fulton thought reassigning high school activities to community schools was missing the point.
If we want to cut the activities director, I think we need to start thinking about cutting activities.
But, Fulton said, it was also clear to him that residents didn't favor cutting activities. Barb Morse ran community schools for 10 years. She reminded the board that although the organization operates under the district's budget, it was never intended as an adjunct of the schools. She said it was created to benefit the city.
The Parks and Rec Department doesn't do recreation programs, so it was the understanding and the funding was used for that purpose. So that's why I was a little astonished. I guess I hadn't kept up since 2000 that it sort of slipped back the other way, that it was no longer designated for community schools to do community recreation, that the assembly had dropped that designation. But I would really urge you to consider the intent of community schools and why the city funds it.
Several board members, at the urging of Superintendent Steve Bradshaw, nevertheless wanted to try merging the duties of the high school activities director with those of community schools sports coordinator, a job held for the last 24 years by Woody Widmark, and with the duties of community schools director Scott McAdams. McAdams thought it might be a step in the right direction.
It's almost like we're going back into a course correction, back to our core mission.
McAdams observed that community schools had evolved considerably since its creation and was far more than the after-hours manager of school buildings. It runs the Ventures program at Baranoff Elementary, community recycling, a tobacco cessation program, and several other grant-funded projects, to name just a few. His implication was that community schools had drifted from its original purpose, and though absorbing high school activities might work out, he didn't think getting there would be easy.
Will we be able to find the time and the capacity to be able to also run a high-quality high school sports program in addition to just the core mission of community schools? It's going to be a big job. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm here, if I speak in support of this, I'm telling you that I'm supporting that my day go from 8 hours to 12 hours a day, maybe 14. That's a ramping up of my duties.
Board member Tim Fulton opposed eliminating the high school activities director position, as did student member Jesse Bartels. Mike Vieira, who currently holds the job, will transfer into the classroom beginning next year and teach high school woodshop. The board easily dropped $16,000 allocated for a service that phones substitute teachers. After that, board member Jennifer Robinson moved to forward the budget to the assembly with no further cuts, though it was $68,000 shy of balancing. She said there was a strong likelihood that federal secure rural schools funding would bridge that gap, and in that event, the district could repay the assembly as it has done in the past. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Kettleson Library in Sitka has been planning an expansion project for the past decade using a combination of public and private funding. On Saturday, the library staff announced its newest and perhaps most surprising donation yet. KCAW's Ann Bryce has the story.
About 2 weeks ago, a man walked into the Sitka Public Library. It was Gus Adams, a Sitkin who uses the library every day.
He is Tlingit, and he is a mature gentleman, and he has a great smile.
That's the lead librarian, Sarah Bell.
He likes the facilities. He uses what's there. He is very precise, so when he needs help, We offer help, and if we can't do it at the moment, we work really hard to make certain that we can answer his needs and his questions.
But that day was different.
So we were well acquainted with him, but I had not anticipated anything like that.
Adams knew that the library was raising money for an expansion, and he wanted to make a donation.
And I said, oh, great. And as time progressed, he decided on the figure of donating $20,000. That was a pretty great way to start off a capital campaign.
Bell says the library's wish list for the expansion includes a humidity-controlled local history room, a conference room, a space with a 3D printer and high-end computer software, a couple of study rooms, and an area for computer instruction.
We call it our 60% expansion, 100% better.
So last Saturday morning, when the library was celebrating National Library Week with a free community pancake feed, everything stopped at 10:30 for Adams to announce his donation.
I think that people were pretty amazed.
Bell had gotten a huge $20,000 check printed out to hold up as part of the presentation.
And I am not at all good with dimensions, so I said, well, seems to me maybe 3 feet by 6 or something like that. Well, it kind of looks like a 4 by 8, you know, big piece. But they printed it out beautifully. And when Gus came in, he said, oh, that's really big. And I said, well, yes, but you're writing a really big check.
And to top it off, Adams announced at the presentation that he would donate another $1,000 if the audience matched it. Community members tripled that number with $3,000.
The total budget for the expansion is $6.2 million, and $5.7 million of that is from a state grant. Bell says that they've got just a little more than $175,000 left to go. And that's all for Raven News. You are listening to KCAW in Sitka.